Hello, welcome to Show Me Your Mic, a podcast about podcasting. You can find it online at goodstuff.fm/smym or on Twitter at smym_fm. I'm your host, Chris Enns, and for this episode, I've got Cesar Contreras. He hosts Pencil vs. Pixel, a podcast where he interviews designers and other folks that he finds interesting and talks to them about their choice of pixels or pencils, amongst other things. We have a great conversation about his show, starting out and just winging it first and growing from where you are at and just starting with the equipment you have and the basics and get going and just kind of getting started and also not being afraid to mess around with your format and try different things. My thanks to Campaign Monitor and A Small Orange for supporting this episode of Show Me Your Mic. More about them a little later on in the show. For now, enjoy the show. Pencil versus Pixel. Tell me, where did the show come from?
Yeah, so long story short, I have a background in music. I'm a musician. I went to music school and did the whole band thing, and I was on a trajectory of becoming a professional musician. And somewhere along the lines...
Wait. You have to confess some old band names then, first of all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Where do I start?
Any skeletons in the closet?
Yeah, sure. No. So my first band back home was, it was just me, is a buddy and I. He played the bass. I was the drummer, just two of us, right? Nice. And we went by the name of Club Sandwich.
There you go.
So, other names after that, let's see. The one that I started touring with was My Power Animal, which is a strange name too. They're all weird names, man.
Yeah, they have to be.
Then there was The Truffles. That's another band name. So yeah, I mean, just a whole bunch of strange names.
Yeah.
Over the years.
I have a confession. One of my band names that didn't actually go anywhere. I don't think we ever played anywhere. It's just like one of those things where a few buddies in a room and you're jamming together was Dagad. Because D-A-G-A-D, the chords, as a progression. We thought we were so clever.
Oh, that's pretty clever, man. Yeah.
And then we came up with the idea that maybe we'll just write songs that only use those chords and it'll be even more meta. But no, it didn't go anywhere. We had fun. That's the main part.
That's pretty cool, though. Yeah. No, that's cool.
Anyway, so nice. Podcasting, right?
Yeah. So, right. So I was, doing music for a few years, and while I was playing in the, like I said, the band that I was touring with, we needed some merchandise, some posters and that kind of thing. So that's sort of, I knew about design, before that, and I appreciated it and I liked it, but I didn't know how to go about it. So that sort of forced me to figure it out. I wanted to do it. I wanted to take on that job of, doing the merchandise, right? Because I had all these ideas and, so yeah, I jumped into it and decided to learn how to, I started by drawing and all that, but decided to learn some of the, some design software so I could do this like a professional would, I thought at least, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, I started doing that kind of thing and, fast forward, that's about 2005, 2006, and then you fast forward to now, I got into web design and then started doing some client work. I didn't go full on freelance, but I did do client work on the side while I was working day jobs and things like that. And, I currently work as a designer at a nonprofit right now, which is really cool. And the reason why I decided to do a podcast was because, I'm one of those people that you probably can't find any of my work online because I never posted any of my work, mm-hmm. And I really wanted to interact with these people that I learned about, because of the internet. And, so there was this thing, this podcasting thing that I learned about. I started listening to podcasts and then I listened to a lot of interview podcast. So I thought, well, that's a good idea. Maybe I could start some interview podcast. But it was all an idea, Like I didn't really think I was going to be able to do that, to be honest. So what I did was I reached out to some, three people. And one of those people, which happens to be pretty popular in the design world, he got right back to me, and I didn't realize that I had invited him to talk with me on, I think it was like two days later. And I had nothing. I didn't have a microphone, didn't have anything, you know? So, you know, to stick with my word, I went out to the store and bought a microphone, a Blue Yeti, you know? Nice. And which happened to be the last one that they had. Shows you how much, you know, they didn't really care. It was like stuck in the back somewhere. It was hard to find. Anyway, so I got the Blue Yeti, learned how to, you know, work that thing, and then connected it to Skype. I didn't even have a Skype, man. You know, it was that bad.
Wow.
And just roll with it. And ever since then, that was October 2013. Ever since then, I just kept reaching out to folks and interviewing designers and, you know, sort of learning as I went. So
your episode one, I'm just looking at the site, was the guy you're talking about was Aaron Draplin. I forget how you.
Aaron Draplin. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Who is, a fairly, when you said, you know, a fairly well known guy, I was like, you know, some, you know, web design guy or whatever somewhere. But like, that's, if you're not in the design world, it's just another name, obviously, but he is one of the names in web and design.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's pretty good to like go after a guy like that for episode one before you even had a show or anything out, right? Like,
yeah, you know, the funny thing was that I reached out to a couple of other people who, you know, aren't as, you know, they don't have as big as a name, as big a name as Aaron, right? But didn't hear from them at all, nothing. Mm-hmm. But then here's Aaron that said, oh yeah, let's do it, you know, no problem. And yeah. Episode one, there it is.
Yeah, which, what little I know about Aaron, I don't know him at all other than listening to him, but just probably just got him on a good day and he's like, why not? I like talking to people. And you never know. Yeah. Which I guess goes to the point of, like, with a lot of this podcast stuff, like I've said before in many episodes, is it's a good vehicle to get to talk to some of the folks that you might not, because chances are if you'd emailed him and said, hey, can we hop on Skype and just chat for a bit, he might have just been like, delete. But
exactly it would have been too strange.
Yeah That's awesome.
So
it was kind of like that idea of starting like getting to talk to those folks and obviously sharing that conversation.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll be honest. I want to talk to these folks so I could learn from them. You know, so I could learn if I have, you know, certain questions about something. You know, like for instance, you know, I have this fascination with people that that are able to sustain themselves by, you know, doing freelance work or by having their own businesses and that kind of thing, and doing it in a creative field, which is for a lot of folks, it's kind of hard to grasp that idea. Like, you know, I'm drawing all day and I'm living off of that, right? So I have a lot of questions for these folks, and you know, that's just an example. Then also, you know, other people that, for instance, I don't know, folks that know more about the current web trends than I do and that kind of thing. And so I pick their brains kind of thing, right? But yeah, you know, the more I do this podcasting, you know, the funner it is. I mean, at first it was nerve wracking. It was so hard to do. And, you know, I'm not much of a talker, but, the more I do it, the more comfortable I become. And now I start getting all kinds of ideas. I mean, I have more ideas on what I want to do next and how I want to sort of improve this show. And
No, that's good. That's
some crazy ideas.
Yeah. Do you want to, I guess, going back, first of all, you're about 50 some episodes into the show, and is there sort of a process you've developed as far as preparing for an interview with some of these folks who, you know, you obviously know through the web and through some of their work and things like that, but how do you go about preparing for I'm just looking through lists, like a Sean Blanc or Roger King or whoever you end up chatting with that week. Is it sort of just much prep and just go with organic conversation, or do you do a whole bunch of prep and sort of have a list?
So I started off, first of all, when I started, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing, so I didn't know where to start, so I just threw some questions together. I did have a format. I thought it was a pretty decent format. Probably it's not that great, but I did have something. And you know, the more I focused on that format, the less comfortable I was with it. You know, so I, you know, soon after that, I decided to change it up and thought, well, maybe what if we just talk? You know, what if we? I'll just ask spontaneous questions, right? That didn't quite work too well, but you know, it's sort of, you know, I built this balance, I guess, you know, where, you know, I shouldn't write too many notes, you know, have everything and not have everything already pre-written, but also, you know, not just ask random questions on the spot. So I'll just type some, you know, basic notes and have a general list of questions, and I'll just go with it, and I'll just have a conversation. And, you know, when if the guest goes deep into one topic, I want to let them talk about that, because that sounds like it's what they're passionate about, right? So I also want to get that element in the show. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not too many notes, not too little.
Just right.
General like, stuff. Just right. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And do you, I'm just looking at the episode page, like the recent one, Drew Wilson, I was just listening to. And
yeah.
I know you've got, is it full transcription or sort of a rough transcription, or what are you doing there?
So what I'm doing is absolutely insane because I record this, and you know how much work it is to record an episode and, you know, edit. I don't know what your process is now, but you know, recording the episode, editing, you know, making sure that it sounds good. And but what I've been doing lately, I think Drew Wilson's episode is the fifth episode where I started doing this, is I go back, listen, and I type, I transcribe the whole thing. and it's crazy. I know it's crazy, but I guess the reason why I do that is because, I want to provide this in written format for people as well, you know. So that's sort of a way for me to get my writing chops back, my typing skills. But you know, I want it written, and who knows? I could probably do something with it later down the road. So
yeah, and there's certainly very good reasons for accessibility. First of all, obviously, to have a transcription of some sort of podcast, and it's something I know here at Good Stuff is just. The scale that we're operating at is tough to do, but
absolutely.
But yeah, like there's plenty of good transcription services out there too. Like you said, that you could outsource it to or hire or whatever too. But it just, you know, it ups the cost obviously, and if you're looking at it as a way to improve your words per minute or keys per minute or whatever, might as well cheaper
the very
than
least, yeah.
Mavis Beacon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the reusability of that as of the content, because especially if you start now versus, I mean, I'm only whatever, a few episodes ahead of you, 77 episodes, but the idea of going back and transcribing 77 episodes now for me is like incredibly daunting, obviously. But there is that idea of, okay, I've got this volume of work or whatever you want to call it. And now I should, if it was written, if I was just writing blog posts, it'd be really easy to go back through and, you know, piece it together and maybe package up. Just I was thinking like the parts at the end of the show, I'll ask you about the podcast you recommend, and like just those chunks would be interesting maybe just to package together or something. And but just going back through everything now would be insane,
huge,
you gotta start somewhere.
Huge task.
Yeah, do you have a process that you use, or is it just kind of like stop start
transcribe? No. I use I'm using this program called let me pop it up. It's called Transcribe by wreally.com.
Is that,
I don't know. So it's transcribe.wreally.com. Kind of strange, but I'll give it to you for the show notes. But it's really neat. So you set your keyboard to, you know, you use the escape button to play and pause. Then you can use, you know, F1, F2 to slow down or speed up the recording. And then F3 to go back, to rewind, F4 to fast forward through the recording. It's pretty cool. So, I mean, it makes it so much faster to transcribe everything. And this is probably, my guess is this is what a lot of the transcribers that you could hire use, right? Something like this.
Interesting. So, I mean, so, and it's all online, right?
As it's all on the it's all in the browser. Yeah.
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 Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You probably don't hear that much from podcasters, do you?
What's that?
You know, using do any podcast, do any folks that come on this show, do they use transcription services, or do they do anything
else? Yeah, some of them have used where they outsource it, like paid. Just drawing a blank on. But yeah, doing it themselves, I'm drawing a blank if somebody has done it themselves. But I think it's an awesome service to offer, obviously, for folks who are unable to listen, first of all, but then also
right.
Yeah, just to being able to read it later and stuff. And then, I mean, there's the SEO benefit as well, Google actually finding it. To my knowledge, anyways, Google doesn't search through audio archives yet anyways.
I know.
But
that's a shame.
I'm sure it's coming, but
sure hope so.
Because they do have, like, if you upload an audio to YouTube, you can have them do a transcription of it. It's, you know, machine translated and stuff, and so it gets a lot of goofy stuff in there. But that's another way, I guess, of messing with that. If you wanted to sort of just experiment, at least you could upload a recent episode of your own show to a YouTube channel and have it do the machine translation. But yeah, yours would obviously be a little more accurate, I would imagine, than what the machines do for YouTube. But interesting. It says it's a paid app. I'm just looking.
Yes,
free to a point or something.
Right, so I think they have a like a free 2-week trial or something like that, and I don't know, it's $9. I think it's $9 a month or a year or something. I don't even know, to be honest. I forget.
Right,
I could go back and see my invoices, but
it's like most web services. You just kind of like, it gets paid. I use it. Now I've forgotten.
I know, like I'm paying for SoundCloud, then there's hosting and you name it, and I'm not doing the whole sponsorship thing either, so it's just coming out of pocket right now. But I did for a bit, but it was I don't know, Chris, but you could tell me, but it's pretty difficult to stay on top of sponsors and doing all that thing. It's a whole job and whole job of its own, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's both, well, it's always, the grass is always greener on every other side. It seems, but with the podcast network that we're running, it's just scales that much harder to keep tabs on all the different shows that you're doing and make sure everybody's got the right reads and the right dollars and the right, matching it all up. And sometimes it's kind of like, it'd be nice to go back to simple days of just publishing a podcast and not worrying about any of that stuff sometimes. But it's fun. And it is tough, like the sort of, I don't want to say glory days of sponsorship aren't necessarily behind us, but as more high profile shows come out and new networks, et cetera, big companies, big business get into the podcasting space, it's definitely going to be harder and harder for the smaller stuff to, get the dollars that they used to.
Exactly.
Have to hustle a little more, I guess, and keep up. But so you alluded to some plans for the future of the show. Is it something you're at liberty to discuss or just still?
Sure. I don't have any huge plans per se, but, I want to, of course, I'm going to continue interviewing folks. Something that I'm really excited about that I actually started was, there's this, I don't know if you want to say trend or if you want just sort of this changing format maybe of how folks are doing shows. Like, for instance, you had Mike Hurley, who, by the way, saved my butt. The last episode, what was it, 74? That was, for anyone who's listening and listens to the show, that was supposed to be me on that show. I had to reschedule. So, you, Mike. Thank you so much, man. You totally saved me and Chris. So, but anyhow, Mike Curley, I'm a longtime listener of, Command Space and then Inquisitive most recently. And the kind of thing that he's doing where he's doing that behind the app series. I love that. I love listening to, I became an addict of startup podcast,
right?
With Alex Bloomberg, and I just loved the format, and I thought, man, I totally want to do this, right? So I don't know, I've this whole thing, Pencil versus Pixel, has been a huge experiment, right? I started by just simply asking straightforward questions, and between my mumbling and all of that, I decided, I'm going to change it up a little bit and see what I could do, see how I could improve, keep on improving the show. And so I thought, well, maybe I could do the whole narrative thing. Boy, is that a lot of work, let me tell you. And a lot of writing, a lot of editing. So I tried it with one episode, and I mean, it didn't come out exactly how I wanted it to, but I mean, it was, I guess, close enough, you know, considering the amount of time and work that it takes to get something like that out. But the something I'm really excited about right now is I'm about to release some episodes that I'm going to call, I don't know exactly what the name's going to be, but I'm thinking I'm just going to call them process, right? So I'm going to shed some light on the process of how things are made within design. So for instance, I've been in touch with some local craft breweries, and they're designers, and sort of started getting into how they design their packaging, how they design their marketing, their branding, how it all comes together to finally, you know, have this really cool looking, six pack of beer, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm really excited about. And I'm also getting into the process of how certain designers, illustrators, creative folks, make specific things. Like for instance, if I talk to someone who has a product line of t-shirts, right? So we'll go from start to finish how they produced it, and you know what struggles they went through while making it, that kind of thing. So that's something I'm really excited about with the show. And so I'll just keep on improving and keep on interviewing, that kind of thing. Yeah,
and it's nice, like you mentioned Mike Hurley's inquisitive, and the way that he, I mean, it's like you said, it's a ton of work doing that.
Yeah.
Kind of narrative storytelling, more right. So obviously than just your typical sort of interview show like this show and like Pencil versus Pixel right now.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And but for podcasters out there thinking about in advance, and this is again going back to like I wish I would have and I now it's time to start kind of idea of the when you've got someone on the line like an Aaron Draplin or whoever, but like you're that's an opportunity to also like get a 5-minute plug with them on something that you might reuse down the road. Obviously, if you don't know it all in advance, then it's hard to do. But
yeah.
Reusing some of the content that you have in a different way maybe could help with some of that. Cause it's definitely
yeah.
Something that's you can try and do. But yeah, it's I appreciate it. I know some podcasters are kind of like down on the style of like storytelling startup and serial telling,
yeah.
Forcing
right,
you to do this
right.
Or whatever. But it just I think it's just a fun way to challenge everybody to maybe raise their game a little bit, and
yeah,
it doesn't mean you have to do it, but if it's interesting
it's
to you,
definitely, yeah, it's definitely a challenge. But I also think it's fun to just mix it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't have a one set format, and that's sort of the benefit that I have. I could play around with the show and do pretty much whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that changing things up like that would really hurt the show. I think it'll just be something interesting. And if I don't continue with it, then I don't. And I'll just go back to the old format, and that's that. So
yeah, it's like when you're in the band and you try out
exactly.
a ska song and you realize you don't want to play ska anymore.
You're a death metal band and you do a ska song, so.
Yeah, exactly. On that note,
normal things like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good little segue. I'm just going to take a quick sponsor break cool. from our ska metal band sponsor. No, I want to thank Campaign Monitor, who have been a longtime supporter of us here at Good Stuff. We're coming up on our 1-year anniversary, actually, of Good Stuff, and as a network, and they've been with us pretty much from the very beginning, and we want to thank them for supporting Good Stuff. We wouldn't be where we are today without them, and have loved working with them, obviously, here at Good Stuff. And they just make it super easy for you to create, send, and optimize your email marketing campaigns. You can design beautiful emails in minutes with their easy-to-use template builder. You can send more relevant emails by displaying content catered to your individual subscribers. And best of all, your emails will look great on any device. They take care of matching up, make sure that all the templates and designs look great on iPhones, Androids, and what Windows phones and et cetera that come along. And so you don't have to have the big testing lab like some web shops have to test all the websites on. The Campaign Monitor takes care of all that for you and makes it super easy to get going. So if you are at all interested in sending out emails to possibly clients or maybe subscribers to your blog, that kind of thing, they can help you get going with that. Visit campaignmonitor.com today to get started. My thanks to them for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. So we talked a little bit about, you mentioned the Blue Yeti back, is where you started. What gear are you using these days to record Pencil versus Pixel?
So I have a MacBook Pro, the Retina MacBook Pro. I think it's just a couple of years old. Then I have the Rode Podcaster. So I did a little upgrading to the Podcaster. And to edit, I use Logic. And that was just that's a recent transition from GarageBand. I had a GarageBand for the longest time. And I don't know, I think back in October last year, switched over to Logic. And I love it. I love Logic. It's been great.
Yeah, as someone who, it's been a number of years since I've used GarageBand regularly, but what have you noticed, and why would somebody, I mean, it seems like the obvious, like, well, of course, if you're going to do this more, you pay more for better software.
Yeah.
What are the things that to you kind of stuck out as a, oh, wow, this does make this so much easier or better or whatever to use than GarageBand?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't really know the technical terminology, but,
yeah,
you know, just overall piecing everything together has been so much better. And then so I've been producing my own little tunes, my own little music in the podcast. So Logic has been instrumental in helping me build these, you know, intros, outros. And
do you think, sorry to interrupt, but do you think that, like, obviously you said you had a music background, but
yeah.
There's some, I haven't used Logic Pro X yet, so I can't speak to this.
Oh, okay.
And so yeah,
that's what I have.
Yeah, the I forget what they call it, the branding of like Loop Builder or some like the thing you're talking about for building music tracks. Do you think it's something where it's easy enough for somebody who doesn't have the music background to do
basic
stuff, or is it?
I think absolutely. Yeah, I think it is. It definitely is a learning curve at the very beginning, but I haven't played around with any of the looping stuff. I've manually. Just if I have a beat, I'll just make the beat, you know, one tap at a time.
Nice.
And then I'll fix it like afterwards if it's sort of off. But I love their instrument selection. I mean, they have all kinds of pre-programmed instruments in there, and it's, you know, they have these synthesizers and these bass instruments and little drum machines, and you could sample things right in. I love it. It's just so easy to do all of that. You know, if I want a sample of a sound from a live instrument here, I'll just record it and sample it in, you know, designate it to a key. And that's, yeah, I love that. I really like that. And then, so I've been doing a lot more, I guess you could say, producing music with this. And it's sort of an excuse for me to, you know, throw in some music and have even more fun with it. But yeah, definitely Logic has been very, very helpful. And, you know, the whole post editing process it's been a lot, I don't know if, I guess easier, but also, I don't know, more enjoyable to do all of the post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard from. I know you mentioned Mike Hurley in his episode. He mentioned just it looks nicer, and so it just is a little more fun to use than some of the older apps. Especially, I know I'm staring at the drab gray, whatever, of Logic Express 7 or whatever, which is now probably 8 years old or something like that. That's what I'm sort of holding on to until it dies its last breath here, but or breathe its last breath.
Well, it's gonna last you some time, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's a good program. I mean, it's solid.
But yeah, it, and when you're doing this, you know, and to spending hours inside an editing suite, especially if you're doing something like, you know, trying to up your game as far as how you edit and what your storytelling process might be or whatever for a different style podcast or whatever. It's kind of fun to have a nicer looking editor to stare at than.
And it gives you a lot more options too.
You mentioned sampling stuff. Is that you just going into like the Rode podcast or you play an instrument, say a guitar or something and going that way? Or
oh yeah. So I have I have this, I forget the name. I don't have it in front of me. XIL. It's a Rode. It's a microphone that connects to your iPhone.
Oh yeah, yeah. Rode XY something. Yeah. Yes. I can totally picture it. But
yes. So I got that guy, and you know, I got it because, you know, whenever I have an idea or whatever, or if I have find a sound, or if I want to interview someone or get some people talking outside of my, you know, home studio or whatever, I'll use that microphone. It's been a great microphone. I love it. And so I'll record some samples or, you know, instruments on that microphone, and then I'll just dump the track into the computer, and then I'll just play around with it from there, usually in Logic.
Nice. Yeah, the I-XY, which is a terrible brand name to say and whatever, but maybe they have some sort of weird phonetic pronunciation for that I'm not aware of. But yeah, I noticed that one, and as soon as you, it's like most things these days, as soon as you Google their webpage and then you start, you know, you'll see ads for it popping up on Facebook and everywhere as you browse around the web. But yeah, it looks like a neat way of just using a really powerful computer that's obviously in your pocket already to grab audio from wherever. So that's a neat way of doing it for sure.
Definitely. It's been very helpful. Yeah, for sure.
And you just use the, do they come with an app or just the built-in audio recorder on?
No, you have to purchase the app. I think it's like $2 or something.
Oh, okay.
Well, I've only used the Rode app. I don't know if you could use it with any other app, but yeah, couple bucks. It's not the best interface, but it is, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You just record, and then you could export the audio in different ways. I usually just go, I connect it to the Wi-Fi network, and it gives you an IP address, and you go to your browser and download from there. Boom.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that makes it really simple.
That makes it pretty nice. Yeah.
Sweet. And then you mentioned you're hosting your shows, the audio anyways, I can see obviously by the player and stuff on SoundCloud. And how has that been? Was that where you started with SoundCloud, or did you use something else before?
No, I started with Buzzsprout. So buzzsprout.com.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been good. I still use them, actually. I still have audio hosted through Buzzsprout. And that's the audio that you listen to on iTunes. And I'm doing it like the dumb way. And then I have it on hosted on SoundCloud as well. And then before that, I didn't mention this earlier, but when I started the podcast, I started with a video interview. So through Skype, I would record the video. Then afterwards, I would edit, split the, you know, both split the frames, or, you know, record, edit and do an introduction and then an outro. And, you know, when I did have sponsors at a, you know, very, very short amount of time, I had sponsors, I think 3 months or something like that. It was a crazy 3 months. And, you know, I used to, you know, put the sponsor's name and logo on the video, and then I would redo it for the audio version. So I did double the work.
Oh, wow.
At the very beginning. I don't know. I think I have a tendency to make it harder on myself.
There's a nerd disease, I think. I don't know what it's called. It's something about that where it's like, yeah, we try to do it the hard way first rather than listen to advice or
exactly. You know, everyone's been talking about Libsyn, right? And I don't know. Is that what you guys use?
No, we use S3 actually here. But yeah, Libsyn is another common web or podcast host client for sure.
So yeah, like just to separate, I guess in my mind, to separate myself from everyone, I thought, I'm not going to use Libsyn. I'm just going to use this Buzzsprout thing. So I totally avoided Libsyn. And, you know, now I sort of, I hear how good it is and how it gives you stats and all this stuff. And, you know, with Buzzsprout, I mean, they've been great, but not so, they don't give you stats really. I mean, not accurately, I guess. So, I mean, most recently I've been curious about my stats and sometimes I care, sometimes I don't, but
yeah, I guess it's a two-edged sword, double-edged sword of like, it's kind of nice not knowing sometimes because you just put your head down and work and enjoy the work. Whereas if you knew that this episode only two people tuned in or whatever the number was, it might be kind of depressing. But if you don't have the stats to see, then you don't have to worry about it. But I'm sure there's more than two. But yeah, that is interesting that they wouldn't give you much in the way of stats there, but I've heard of them before and came across them obviously, but just haven't ever used them. But looks like they'd be like pricing wise, it'd be probably similar ish, like $15 to $20 a month or something, depending on how much space you're using. And then, but yeah, Libsyn does have, they have really good stats. I can attest to the, I still have a plan with them just from old podcasts and stuff. And,
nice.
And definitely, especially with their stats add-on, I forget what the advanced statistics or something they call it, definitely have great stats breaking down where people are coming from, devices, all that kind of stuff, and things like that. So it's for if you're a stats nerd or like to have your ego checked occasionally, it's definitely worth looking into. But it is one of those things, just like Buzzsprout, now I've got that, where it looks like they're kind of built on that idea of, you know, you host it with them, and as long as you're paying them, then your content is there. But as soon as you stop paying them, your stuff is gone effectively. Right. Which has its drawbacks. If you're like, I'm experiencing right now with some older shows that are on Libsyn, and I could probably move them to like just a self-hosted WordPress install for the amount of, you know, downloads they get or whatever. But, you have to keep paying them indefinitely. So there's no like, archive my stuff and here's a final $50 payout, and you know, as long as you guys are around or whatever, then you'll just serve it up for me. So that's the drawback, I guess, whereas something like an Amazon S3 or other services where you'll just pay per download each, you know, pennies or whatever, half a penny per download or whatever the number is. But
probably the best bet there,
and then hope you don't get too popular because then it gets expensive with them. So
with
the going back to the video stuff, I'm just curious, so you abandoned it, I would guess, just the amount of work and
it's just time. It's just too much work. I mean, I have a day job, you know, and this is sort of my nights and weekends gig. So it became way too much. And I mean, I was literally doing double the work, you know, like editing the video and then going back, you know, exporting the audio and then adding whatever I needed to add to the audio, you know, the intro, the last bits of, you know, towards the end, it just became way too much. But, you know, that said, I'm not abandoning video at all. Like I definitely plan on going back to doing something with video. Now what I'm going to do, I have no idea, but it'll probably be some sort of, you know, interview or maybe the whole process thing that I talked about earlier. But, yeah, I love video though. I do enjoy editing video and putting it together, and it's just, it really gets your creative juices flowing, especially if it's something personal, something of your own, right? You could do anything you want, but yeah, it definitely deserves deserves a lot more time and attention to you know, edit video and you know, add some effects and images and this kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And at least it's gotten worlds easier than it used to be as far as hosting and all that kind of, you know, you set up a YouTube channel and for free basically, and you're running and it's you don't have to worry about as much that way, but it's it's too bad how much work it is to actually create the video well.
Usually it's a team of, you know, more than three people doing that. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think I often see podcasters sort of venture into video, and then after a few episodes or months or whatever, they kind of pull back from it because it's not scalable at the sort of hobby level anyways, that's for sure. And it does take, like I said, a team of folks often to keep it going. But more power to you if you can do it. And
we'll see you later down the road, man. And we'll see if I can do a video or if I bring it back at some point.
Yeah, and it's something where you can, like I've talked about on the show here before too, like Google Hangouts and stuff. It can be something where you do it periodically or once a month or whatever, and sort of incorporate it as a way to, because I think there is something to the idea of, you know, people have, they might know what I look like just from Twitter or something, or the occasional photo if they follow me on Instagram or something like that, but they don't really have a good picture of me talking and stuff like that. And that's, it does, I know of like in other shows where I've listened in audio form only and then switched to maybe watching them in a video or whatever. It does kind of help inform your, even if you go back to just listening to them in audio, helps sort of inform and fill in the picture, I guess, of what they do and what they look like, even if you have a face for radio or whatever. But
you know what? I don't recommend anybody watching those videos because I had so many bad hair days. It's insane. There's literally, if I let my hair grow, it gets really curly. So there was one video where there was one curl that was just popping out of the top of my head during the whole thing. So I'm like,
I thought maybe you had like the Elvis curl going down.
Oh man, I wish. Yeah, it was pretty bad. So
did you, those ones, those videos things, and then we'll jump off to a new topic here, but the videos, did you, how did you publish them with the audio feed, or what did you do with them? Like just
how did I
them out through the same RSS feed through your site kind of thing, or did you sort of
No. So what I did was I would host, you know, the audio as I normally would, you know, just strictly audio, but the videos were the kind of thing where you could only view them on the website, or you could view them on Vimeo or YouTube. So that was the only way to view the videos.
Yeah. Which I think makes sense. I don't know. I have yet to hear from or come across somebody doing like downloadable podcast videos these days.
Oh, right.
You know, because I just can't imagine. And maybe it's just not my use case. So like it's hard to.
Yeah,
like bandwidth, but then also I just listen in the car and it's hard to watch obviously a video while you're driving or listen while I'm working on other stuff and I don't watch. But they keep telling us YouTube is, tons of people are watching videos on YouTube, but I guess they're all cat videos or whatever.
You know, there some people have reached out to me, you know, talking about videos that I posted probably more than a year ago, old interviews. And these people don't even know about the new stuff that's been out because of, you know, it's all just, it's been audio, right?
Right.
So that tells you something. I mean, it's kind of crazy. A lot of people find this stuff on just on YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, so it'd be, it's a good idea to, even if you do have audio, to, you know, maybe take the time to put a little video together with audio, maybe an image or something that shows the, you know, your podcast artwork and just posting on YouTube. That's definitely a good idea to do that because it's true. People do find your stuff.
And the subscribing and playback mechanisms built into YouTube and discovery on YouTube is certainly, you know, it's its own little ecosystem that if you're not on at all, then you won't appear, obviously. And who knows? If podcasters out there are listening and you're having some success with that or failure or whichever, I'd love to hear about it because it's an avenue that seems like, again, possibility, but maybe it's just a ton of work for very little gain.
And
five listeners or whatever that you might find through that, probably not worth the hours you'd have to put in necessarily, but maybe there's more success there than I giving it credit for. So
you never know.
We'll come back in a minute just to hear about some of the podcasts that you listen to and the apps you listen to them on. And I should mention that you'd also sent me a couple photos of your gear and setup, which will be on the show page at goodstuff.fm/smym/77. So if you want to see Caesar's photos or Mike, I guess, and setup and stuff.
That's no where, photos of my hair, though.
Right. That's where you can check that out. But I just want to mention another way you can support and show me your mic is by visiting the show page, like I said, goodstuff.fm/smym/77. And in the sponsor section there, there's a link to a Small Orange, which is a web hosting company that I use for some of my stuff, personal stuff. And they have a very simple vision, perfecting hosting while maintaining a homegrown feel with a focus on people, their customers, their employees, and their community. A Small Orange isn't like those big hosting conglomerates. They don't promise unlimited plans that are actually hindered by hidden limitations. Instead, you're only responsible for paying for the resources you need. Whether you're just starting your own blog or you're running a powerful e-commerce site, they have a plan for you. At that link I mentioned earlier, there's a quick, speaking of YouTube, a 30-minute long tutorial video of just getting started with it from like scratch, registering a domain name, signing up for the service, and setting up a WordPress site and writing your first blog post all in about 30 minutes time. And just to show, that was my test, I guess, of using their system and show how easy it is to actually get going with using a Small Orange. And so if you do sign up through them, through the affiliate code there, you'll be supporting me and show me your mic here. And I appreciate that. Okay, so what podcasts are you listening to? You mentioned Startup earlier, but what other ones are you catching your
ear? So that one's definitely on hold for now, but you know, that was one of the shows that I've definitely been on, stayed on top of. But you know, Chris, to be honest, I haven't been listening to a lot of podcasts. Excuse me. I tend to stick to a core, I don't know, three or four podcasts, really. Some I do sort of check out and see, and it's not so much that I don't enjoy them, or it's just I don't like getting too, you know, you start getting ideas from these podcasts and you start thinking, oh, what if I do that? What if I do that? What if I do? So in order to stop myself from saying those kind of things to myself or thinking that to myself, I just stick to a core, you know, few podcasts, you know, at a time. You know, I mentioned, you know, both you and I mentioned Mike Hurley earlier. You know, I listened to Inquisitive. Great show. And I really do like the new format with the Behind the App series. And also, there's my buddy, Andy J. Miller. He has this podcast called the Creative Pep Talk Podcast. He gives a lot of advice to illustrators, you know, designers and that kind of thing. You don't really hear, I haven't really heard many podcasts with hosts who are illustrators. So that's definitely a really good one to check out for anyone, really. One that I've been really fascinated by has been Song Exploder. Have you heard of that one?
Actually, the guest, the previous episode just mentioned that one too. I think it was where he listened to that one. I need to check that one out because it sounds like it'd be up my alley.
That's definitely a different level, man. I mean, it's just every detail is—it's insane. And you know, they take songs apart and you know tell the backstory of how they started, you know, ideas and that kind of thing. And it's all pieced back together at the end. And then you listen to the whole song, and you have a new appreciation for that song after listening to the backstory of it. So it's really, really cool.
And is it with the artist on the show?
Typically is. So the host usually interviews, or not really interviews, but he has, you know, the artist talk about the song. If it isn't the artist, it might be the producer, or it might be, one of the musicians within the band within that band.
Yeah.
Man, but it's so fascinating, man. It's so good.
Yeah. And it's not just, I was thinking it was like going to be like, I was thinking when you mentioned it last episode, the guest mentioned last episode, that it'd be like just indie bands that I might not care about the song as much or whatever. And you know, I should open my mind a little more maybe, but also, I mean, I'm just looking at the one episode here. He's got the guy who looks like he did the soundtrack or part of a song on the soundtrack from The Imitation Game. So it's not just, you know,
oh man, small little. That episode was so good. It was because of that episode, I decided to watch that movie. I mean, that's how good it was.
Nice.
I probably wouldn't have watched the movie. Really good movie though. But that soundtrack and just the backstory and just how that composer, you know, sort of thinks about how to put that together. It's insane. So good. So good. Nice. It's definitely a recommended one. And then, you also, previously had, Adam Martin. He's also a designer. Mm-hmm. He has this podcast, but I don't know for folks that haven't listened to it. It's called Makers of Sport, podcast. What's really cool about this, about Adam, is that, you know, he talks to a niche group of designers, those who only work in the you know, sports and sports branding, that kind of thing. So it's really cool. He has something really good going on over there. So really good guy, really good podcast. And then also, you know, going back to video and podcasting and all that, you know, Dan Benjamin, he's, you know, I've listened to Dan for ages now, seems like. But he recently came out with the Dan Benjamin Hour, which is it's more of he's just kind of messing around almost. You know, he's just doing something that he's always wanted to do. So what he's doing is he's you know, taping the session or that episode, you know, on video, has it posted live. And he's just talking about everything he's interested in. He'll have guests. I think he's five or six episodes in at this point, but it's a really good, you know, that, I don't know. It's a really inspiring one because it really shows that that's exactly what Dan wants to do. You know, he's really good at what he does. He does all kinds of podcasts. He talks about tech. He talks about, he interviews people. He talks about random things with other guests or other hosts. And this seems like it's really in the pocket, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's a really good one. I sort of just sticking to, like I said, just a small set of shows at the moment. And
like you said earlier about, trying not to listen to everything and anything and everything, because it kind of, if you have that personality, and I can completely identify with this of like, oh, I should be doing that, and now I should be doing this,
because
that sounds awesome, and they're successful, and so I should do that. And that's actually, it's funny you mentioned the Dan Benjamin Hour, because I'm a big Dan fan, and that show is kind of one of those things for me where it's like going back to video too, of like, yeah. Oh, I'd love to do that and have the three cameras switching and the and all this stuff, and like I was thinking of him when we were talking about that earlier, of just having, he has a couple of folks that help him with stuff and just right. At that scale, it does get a little more easy. It's still a lot of work, obviously, but I'm curious, do you, knowing that you watch or listen to that show, do you watch more than you listen to the audio version, or which way do you sort of?
I listen to more than I watch, so I would love to watch it live, but I've gone back and back to the archive, like for Dan's show, to just to see what the video, just out of curiosity, to see what the behind the scenes stuff in the video is. And he's really good about making comments that you could of things that you could only see,
right?
So it makes you want to go back and watch it. It's a really smart tactic or whatever, but it's really I think he's onto something. It seems like I would say like the new TV show format or something. I mean, he admits that it's not really a video show. It's not meant to be a video show. He just says that he wants to, show everyone what happens behind the scenes, right? But I like that. I like the rawness and how it's just, you just see them and you see whatever they're talking about, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, with YouTube, anybody can go look and see how many views on a particular video, for example, and they're all under 1,000 views. So it's not like he's getting the huge audience watching necessarily, which, for sponsors and stuff to pay and things like that, that's not really necessarily what they're after. But it does speak volumes, I guess, to the fact that people are willing to tune in and watch, which does take a little more work than just listening in audio, like you're saying. And presumably, because he's still doing it, there is, I would assume there's quite a few people listening as well. And that he gets to just do this anyways and have fun with it, I think is awesome. That's certainly a bonus, that it's getting to play with some of that stuff and mess around with things. And sort of, like you said earlier about your show, like finding sort of being able to mess with stuff until you find sort of a formula or a path to what really clicks with both you personally as well as the listeners, and then, if you so desire, the sponsors maybe, and have it all come together. So awesome. Well, that's maybe a good spot to wrap and send everybody off to go mess around with video or something. Oh, what app do you listen to your podcast on? I forgot to ask that. That's the other.
Oh, yeah. So I listen to Pocket Casts.
Nice.
And, sometimes I just go back to the default iOS podcast app.
Yeah.
I tried Overcast. Didn't really work for me, so I just stick to those two.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's another, that's what I should be doing, is having a sort of tally board of podcast app recommendations over the 70 episodes, see which ones are most pretty popular. Cool. But that's, I know the previous guest, James Parkinson, just mentioned Pocket Cast as well. So it's one of my faves too. Okay. So where can folks find you, follow you, and keep up with more Pencils and Pixels if they want?
It's pretty easy. Pencilversuspixel.com. So that's pencilvspixel.com. And then that's also across all social media, just pencilvspixel. So you can find me.
Cool. All right. The guy whose name starts with C, I think that's how I introduced you or whatever on that Mike Hurley episode. He tried to get it out of me.
Oh, no way.
Who rescheduled or whatever. No. Yeah. But
now he knows for sure.
So yeah,
that's if he listens to this episode,
that was a teaser, and it's all been revealed. My thanks for coming on the show, and my thanks to Campaign Monitor and A Small Orange for supporting good stuff, and Show Me Mike If you'd like to support Show Me Your Mic and my podcasting efforts a little more directly, you can do so also on my Patreon, patreon.com/iChris. And Good Stuff is available on the Twitters at goodstuff_FM. I'm iChris on Twitter. Show Me Your Mic is SMYM_FM. If you've got comments, questions, concerns that maybe you want to send to me directly, chris@goodstuff.fm is my email address. I think that's everything for now. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Bye.